want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. I'd like to help you, don't you, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the wood plug makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show at our very new time. Thanks to Doug Hagman for an exciting 2 hours, and thanks to Doug and Joe for offering so graciously to have me on their show tomorrow night. I'll have both sets of archives up. I'll have this interview up with Doug. And this is especially timely because I know some of you, no matter how hard we tried this week, and we tried really hard to let everyone know about the time change. We've announced it for 2 weeks now. It was, I think, in practically everything that went on the website. There's going to be a few people that didn't get the word, and some of you are just joining us, and you're going, hour number three, Dave, you're just starting. No. We moved the show back 2 weeks. Our 2 hours, I should say, and if you're joining us, we apologize, but I promise we will get those archives up expeditiously with our interview with Doug Hagman. He had a lot of important things to say, and so we will have that up. And again, this time change in which we're on from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, this is permanent. We did a preliminary check on our numbers and compared them to last week, and we're up by almost a third. So we heard you, people on the East Coast, and we have responded, and we hope you like what you're hearing, and you'll come back frequently. Anyway, we are in our health report segment with my friend Katie Whalen. And so, Katie, what's on tap for us tonight?
What's on tap tonight is news you won't hear anywhere else in the medical field. So tonight, I'm going to go over something that Mike Adams, I'm going to start with something Mike Adams covered.
I love
brilliant.
Mike Adams.
He, oh my goodness, he did an exceptional job on this piece. And it's about the SB 277 out in California. And it's called SB 277 will unleash medical civil war in California. As parents demand doctors to be arrested for felony assault. Do you love that? So what he does is he breaks it all down between the law, the new law that's coming out, and existing laws on basically felony assault. So it says, a non-debatable scientific truth is that all vaccines have inherent health risks from, well, we've seen that, small skin rashes to full-blown neurological damage, lifelong debilitation, and even children who've been killed, like the story I did a few weeks ago down in Mexico. And so vaccines have the potential to cause harm and cause severe harm, injury, and even death for children when they are forced upon people against their wishes and consent. So they represent a form of, he calls it, medical violence against women and children. And according to federal law, now here's where we bring the law in. According to federal law, a needle is categorized as a weapon in the context of a physical assault. So say, for example, you acquire acquire the blood of an HIV-positive person, you fill a syringe with it, and you assault them, you would not only be charged with a felony, but an assault with a deadly weapon. So keep those two in mind. So federal sentencing guidelines characterize a vaccine as a serious felony crime. This is how he puts it all together, and this is brilliant. So I want to interrupt myself just for a minute here and say, yes, people, listeners in California, pay attention to this, but basically across the country, because if California goes the way of SB 277, that's the test run. So goes the country, because as we discussed a few weeks ago, this congresswoman is trying to pass a federal mandatory vaccination for all children. So Individuals carrying HIV virus have been charged with felony assault crimes for spitting on people or engaging in sexual intercourse with them. In Ohio, it can carry up to 11 years. But you can go and see this article, read the sentencing level guidelines, which are really strict. So if you go to my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com, you'll see this article. You'll be able to pull it up from Natural News and read through it and get all the details, but you'll see the sentencing guidelines. So a vaccine violence against a non-consenting person would qualify under U.S. federal sentencing guidelines as a base level of as a base offense level of 22 if no injury was sustained by the child. If there is injury, then the levels go up. So doctors have no immunity against civil lawsuits stemming from vaccine violence. This is just so amazing. I love this research and tying the two together. So if this begins to happen, doctors are going to be forced, in essence, to require parental signatures for vaccines stating the medical risks of vaccinations, including the detailed description of the potential side effects of vaccines in order to recognize them as valid. So if the forms fail to provide the parents with full details of the vaccine side effects, the parents can rightfully claim they were not given informed consent and therefore would have very strong civil liability case. Here's where the doctors need to pay attention. All you doctors out there. When vaccines are coerced by the state, doctors are now colluding with the state-sponsored system of coercion that combines medical violence with the threat of denying a child their right to an education. Is everybody following me so far?
Yeah, I am.
This is so good.
Yeah.
The doctor's now playing a key role in coercion and collusion, which demands a child be physically violated with a harmful substance administered via what law enforcement already recognizes as a dangerous weapon. Go, Mike Adams. So all that's necessary to see this happen is for parents to start calling the police. California parents have the power to unleash this law enforcement campaign against anyone administering vaccines without consent. I mean, that's where we have to think this through. People have to start getting involved. State and federal laws are written to protect innocent victims against their bodies being physically violated. So all they need to do is merely invoke these laws, which already exist. So if Governor Jerry Brown signs SB 277 into law, Mike's hypothesis is that it will unleash a medical civil war in California. So California parents and parents all over the country, this message is for you. Please go to my blog, theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com, or go to Mike Adams' site, Natural News, and do a search on it, and spread this message far and wide. If it gets out in time, or if SB 277 becomes such a litigious nightmare, other states and possibly the Fed will scrap their plans and start over, because as we all know, the overlords of death never slumber. They will rename it.
I like that.
They will rename it. They will slip it into some other bill. They'll do something. But keep your eyes out for this. And the name of the article is SB 277 will unleash medical civil war in California as parents demand doctors be arrested for felony assault. Don't you love the way he tied that together, though? I thought that was brilliant. So what he did was...
Yeah, but I'm not surprised. I mean, we're talking Mike Adams.
Yes, I know.
And he's at the forefront of a lot of causes on behalf of our health. So, no, I'm not really surprised, but he's right. And in fact, I need to go snatch that article off his website and put it on mine.
Mm-hmm. It's that good. And, you know, what these powers do is... They have these laws about a felony assault, and it's someone like Mike or these investigative reporters that tie it together and say, wait a minute, you can't do this. Because you can't just protest and say, no, you know, I have my Fourth Amendment rights that, you know, to my person, and nobody listens to that. So you have to actually, the Constitution is so weak, unfortunately, but this is California law. This is California state law that we're talking about. So that's a big one. And yeah, I think that would be great to post it. So I'm going to really badly segue into the next story, which is, have you had a root canal, Dave?
No.
Annie, have you ever had a root canal?
I've been with people that made me feel like I was having a root canal.
Okay, very good.
I have had a root canal, and I knew this a long time ago. And I probably should have the tooth pulled, but I have some home remedies that I use on it. But toxic tooth, how a root canal could make you sick. This is really scary because everybody has, pretty much everybody has a root canal. Or they're also tying this to partials, permanent partials. So it says, this is from Dr. Mercola's website. And are commonly done root canals toxic to your health? There was a Dr. Robert Kulags, a dentist who spent a significant portion of his career trying to answer this question. Well, he discovered profoundly changed his life, and it led him to write a book called The Toxic Tooth, How a Root Canal Could Be Making You Sick. So, like I said, he was a dentist up in upstate New York, and he did these procedures for years until one of his patients actually told him that his physician said root canals can kill you. I mean, they're dangerous to your health. And he kept saying no, no, because he was an ADA student. Of course, the ADA, the American Dental Association, still maintains root canals are safe. Well, after fighting the notion for a time, he looked into the research, and he attended a lecture by a Dr. Boyd Haley of the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology on root canals and how toxic they are. It changed his life, and he wrote the book. But what happens is there's bacteria in the root or the tooth that they leave inside of you. So the root canal teeth are chronically infected. They may contribute to a number of different health problems, including heart disease. Like I said, while the ADA insists bacteria from root canal teeth can never travel the distant sites in your body. Well, I'm going to stop myself there. How many times has your veterinarian said, if you have a dog, they say keep your dog's teeth clean because the plaque and the bacteria can travel to their heart and give them heart disease? I have had three dogs that... You know, that they say that to me all the time. I actually have, like I said, the root. I have a root canal. I have different things that I put on it to help it. But I've spent buku bucks on my dog's teeth cleaning them because that's what the vets say. Plus, I have a friend who has mitral valve prolapse. And every time she goes to the dentist, that's mitral valve is a leaky heart valve. Every time she goes to the dentist, she has to take... I think it's 400, 500 milligrams of amoxicillin. And that's to spare any bacteria going to the heart. So they know this. This is another one of those things that they know. So the bacteria basically travels to the heart. And it creates arterial plaque, heart disease, causes the arterial plaque, causes blood clots, heart attacks. And that's the direct causation. So if anybody out there has root canals, check it out. You might want to have the tooth removed through a procedure. There's also what I use is I use clove oil on my tooth every day.
How does that work, Katie?
Clove oil is a powerful antibacterial. And so if I rub it into my gums, it penetrates into the tooth and whatever bacteria has formed during the day, it just wipes it out. So I do that twice a day. Plus, the company that I work for has a toothpaste called On Guard, which I use. And it has clove oil in it, orange, cinnamon. These are all bacterial fighting agents. So that's what I use until I have mine removed. So some pretty, pretty important stuff there. And I have sort of some fun stuff. If anybody has trouble sleeping, I don't know if this is Dr. Wheel. He's down in your area. Have you ever heard of Dr. Andrew Wheel? from Arizona.
Yes. Yeah, I've read his book. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's got, he's promoting, he didn't come up with this, but he's encouraging it. It's the 19-second breathing technique, which induces sleep almost instantly. So I should probably save it for the end of the show because we don't want anybody missing the rest of the show. But it's called the
I got something that's even better than that, Katie.
What?
Just watch the first 10 seconds of Fox and Friends.
Oh, there you go.
Don't put anybody to sleep. Of course, what they're best known for now is their characterization of Jed Helm.
Oh.
Listen to a story about a man named Jed. Yeah, they call it Jed Helm.
Yeah,
I think
one of these shows.
And the giggle factor.
Oh, yes, yes. So, yeah, anyway, 19 seconds to go to sleep, okay, but you can short-circuit that by watching Fox. Well, how does this technique work? What does Dr. Weil do?
All right, Dr. Weil says it's called the 4-7-8 breathing technique. It was pioneered by Dr. Andrew Weil. And he describes it as a yoga-inspired method of utterly simple, it takes no time, requires no equipment, and can be done anywhere. So, I'm going to read off what you do. Number one, before you begin, it's basically just, it's like a 60-second breathing technique to put yourself to sleep. So, before you begin, place the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth, just above your teeth, and keep it there throughout the exercise. Number two, exhale completely through your mouth, quite forcefully, so you make a whoosh sound. Are you doing this, Dave? No?
I am.
He's asleep.
I didn't want to go to sleep.
I had you going, didn't I?
We haven't even gotten to phase two. That was something else to put him to sleep. Close your
I'm
mouth.
I'm closer to sleeping than you'd realize, but go ahead. What's the next step?
Close your mouth and inhale quietly and softly through your nose for a mental count of four. You can also go to my blog and find this. Hold your breath, number four. Hold your breath and count to seven. Next, exhale completely through your mouth, making another whoosh sound for 8 seconds in one large breath. Now inhale again and repeat the cycle three times for a total of four breaths. So how simple is that? We had a show on stress. There's so many people that have insomnia. This is one of those simple, doesn't cost a dime, simple techniques to put yourself to sleep. Try it. See if it works. If it works, you've just saved yourself a whole lot of money, a whole lot of time, and you don't have to take Ambien. Is it Ambien? All those horrible chemicals that are causing people to sleepwalk and do amazingly destructive things. I should actually do a show on Ambien.
You get hallucinations, too.
They do have hallucinations.
Well, the views expressed here are solely that of the guest and do not reflect the management ownership of DH Communications at the Common Sense Show. Hello, Ambien.
Dave.
Yeah, nice to meet your lawyers, yes.
Well, that's pretty much the truth there.
I bet it's on their drug info on their insert to the package.
Well, it is on there. It's actually on the TV commercials, too. They have to read off that. They get the speed readers to read off all the side effects. So, yeah, that's not a problem. They have to tell you what these things are potentially capable of. So, but I think people should try the breathing technique. I'm going to try it tonight.
When I was teaching a class one time in sociology on managed care, I actually slowed down the tape of a TV commercial. And I forget what I think it was Cialis. And, people that are 19 to 21, they want to hear that stuff. So I wrote down all the side effects, and I read them at normal speed. And you should have seen the look of horror come over people's faces when they're going, "My God, it can do all this stuff to you?" Because we're trained to tune that out, like it's background noise. Ambient noise, if you will. And they just were like in shock about why anyone would take a drug with so many side effects. Welcome to Big Pharma.
Yeah, and they have those speed readers that do it, and nobody does listen to it. They've done tests on that it's so fast, and nothing is actually... I listen to it because I have a background in media, and it drives me crazy every time I hear them. But most people aren't trained to hear that stuff.
Katie, I have an idea. Because, you know, when Annie is in the business of making her trek to Arizona, and mm-hmm. she happens to miss a show, I have an idea how we can fill that time. We need to go through these commercials and mention the drug and just go through and read off all the side effects.
Oh, I could practice.
So people can really understand what it is they're taking and what it's doing to them.
That's an excellent idea. That is such a great idea, Dave. I'm going to look into
Ooh,
that.
Ooh, makes me feel better. Takes a lot of stress off of me.
Wow. That is a great idea.
Katie, I that'd make a good article.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so news you want to share with your doctor.
Exactly. Well, I have one more quick little story if I have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's,
you got about a minute.
The military is sending live anthrax around the country. Shocking? No. There's a new anthrax outbreak set to take place. Perhaps most surprising, again, natural news. Perhaps most surprising, it is in the U.S. military that is at fault. According to CNN and others, 4 lab workers in the U.S. and as many as 22 more overseas have been confined to post-exposure treatment after the military inadvertently shipped live anthrax samples using shipping company FedEx.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh is right.
Yeah, why not just send Ebola by UPS? I mean, what's the difference?
Oh, my. But inadvertently? Seriously? Oh, my gosh.
Could this be one of our next false flags?
Well, yeah. So that's why we got to get the information
out
there.
On the package, I'm sure it said something like, return to sender, ISIS, 8 miles south of El Paso, Texas. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But this is the kind of stuff that if you get it out there and people are aware of it, if something happens, people know, oh, this wasn't just an accident. The military admitted this. So you can read more about this from Natural News, too.
Katie, quickly give out your website.
Yes, my website is familyessentialshop.com. That's familyessentialshop.com. And the blog is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com for all the links.
Very good. And we'll have that up on the website as well. Great. Stay tuned for Andy's news. We're going to step aside for a short message. I want to talk to you about my friend Pat Wood, and those of you who followed the show for a while know that Pat and I are friends, and we've been acquainted for some time, and we've engaged in a couple of joint venture projects, and he has written a terrific book that we've interviewed him on, not once, but twice. It's so fascinating. The book is called Technology, or Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. He talks about Agenda 21 policies going into place, where they're going. And even more importantly, transhumanism, what's that about? So this is your first exposure in depth to technocracy. This is your book because it's the dark horse of the New World Order. It's not communism, socialism, or fascism. It's technocracy. And the way to get Pat's book is to simply go up to my website and click on the blinking ad in the top center. You can't miss it. As Patrick Wood, it's blinking on. You'll see the book listed there. And you'll go to the landing page for the book, and it's designed strictly for Common Sense Show listeners. And if you order from that site, Pat will personally autograph a copy of the book for you. So again, Technocracy Rising, go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the blinking ad top center, and Common Sense Show listeners, you got quite a deal there. Also, too, I wanted to talk to you again about the lady that you just heard from with regard to familyessentialshop.com. And she had to say that really quick at the end of that spot, and I wanted to make sure that you got that. And she'll give you all the information that you need. It's available on her website. She's got some terrific stuff. And she's offering the Get Every Oil Kit, and that's in quotes. And here's what she'll do for you. You'll get wholesale pricing. You'll get tons of basically free specials from a book, Modern Essential Guide, The Therapeutic Use of Essential Oils. You'll get about $200 in free oils with your next purchase. She's just offering all kinds of discounts to Common Sense Show listeners, but you got to call Katie to get this offer. You can go to the website, look it over, and decide if it's for you. But don't order from the website. You got to call Katie tomorrow, and that number is 720-630-3111. 720-630-3111. But first, visit her website at FamilyEssentialShop.com. Well, we're officially in our news segment with our news director, Annie DeRiso. And Annie, is it okay to make that announcement about us being neighbors?
Oh, yes. I think we're going to meet for the fourth time in our life.
This is so cool. Well, Annie, I had a dear, dear friend, the late Bill Pollack, and we've talked about him many times on the show. And then sometime later, he met Annie. They fell in love, got married. And unfortunately, we lost Bill a number of years ago to cancer. But Annie and I stayed in touch. And one thing led to another. And I said, Annie, you know so much about what's going on. I really need someone to sort out the news. And so that's how we started this partnership. And here we are over 6.5 years later in our seventh year of working together. Well, Annie is moving from Tennessee to just up the road from me, about an hour and 15 minutes north of me, to Prescott, Arizona. And Annie, we may have to get together and broadcast here from the home studio out here in the rural desert, 25 miles northwest of metropolitan Phoenix. I'm so excited to have you out here because there's so many things that we've got an opportunity to be a part of, and all the various things I get to go to that I thoroughly enjoy, like the Arizona Breakfast Club and Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix. So it's going to be great to have you out here. But Annie's making the big move, and that's what Katie and I were referring to when we were jokingly talking about, maybe not so jokingly, talking about putting together a show with nothing but medical warnings and mentioning their products conspicuously. So you know exactly full well what you're getting. Well, Annie, I know we've got a full boat of news here. You don't have a lot of items, but you got some in-depth items that are really important, and I think we should get to that.
Well, yeah, my first story is about why the guy who created the Obama Hope poster has lost hope in politicians. I mean, remember back in Obama's 08 campaign when one of his trademark posters, it was this red, white, blue graphic portrait of him, you know, with a slogan of hope on it. But now, 7 years later, the creator of that poster definitely is having second thoughts. I mean, when asked if Obama has lived up to his expectations in a recent interview he did with Esquire, Shepard Fairey said, not even close. So, last year, he created another graphic poster featuring the face of a satirical politician. You know, it's another graphic with the word sold, S-O-L-D, on it. I mean, and this time he's going after the big money donations, lobbyists, and special interest groups, you know, that have hijacked our government. I know you talk, Dave, a lot about the lobbyists.
Yeah, they're everywhere. 6 years ago when we went to D.C. for a vacation, I think my son was about 8, and we wanted him to have a full appreciation of our heritage. Now, not the crap we have today, but the wonderful heritage that we brought with us from our founding fathers. And so we went to visit our congressman, and he wasn't in, but we got to spend time with the staffers. And it was an interesting experience, Annie, because we walked in, the room was filled with lobbyists. I mean, all wearing suits, and here we are in our vacation garb. We look like Bill Murray in that movie, What About Bob, going to Lake Winnipesaukee. And we walk in, and these people were just fawning all over us because we weren't lobbyists. We didn't want anything. So they just kept loading one gift after another on my son, and they were so kind and so polite and professional. And you're right, we're tripping over the lobbyists. We get into an elevator to go downstairs to the lower levels, and in the elevator, about 12 people, and there were 3 of them that weren't lobbyists. My wife, myself, and my son. So, yeah, it's disgusting. We should outlaw lobbying and treat it like prostitution, because that's exactly what it is. Back to you, Annie.
That's a good point, Dave. Good comparison. Well, this next story just blows me away. I mean, the Afghan production of opium has grown 50% since we landed there in Afghanistan in 2001. And the operation was called Enduring Freedom. I mean, that in itself is a joke. And there was a growth factor of 17% in 2014 alone. And I'm sure this doesn't really surprise any of our listeners out there, because they are quite aware. We've got a lot of Vietnam vets. We know what went on over there. And we've long heard these stories of our troops being ordered to protect the opium fields and the drug lords. I mean, this...
Well, I know, Annie, that's...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, this fighting the opium war in Afghanistan for 14 years, I mean, it's cost the U.S. and NATO $7.8 billion. B as in boy, $7.8 billion. And the money was wasted. It's, you know, we offered the locals in some of these Afghani regions to use the drug revenues as they wished. So, you know, they bought more weapons. It's, the whole thing just doesn't make any sense of all, at all. And most of the world's opiates for Big Pharma come from these poppy fields in Afghanistan and yields about 90% of the world's heroin. But guess what? The scientists are creating GMO opiates, and they come to the rescue. They've isolated the opiate gene by engineering a yeast that, and it converts the glucose of the yeast into morphine. But it's unclear just who's going to control this technology once it's on the market. I mean, the scientists believe that Big Pharma will be able to keep control of it, you know, but we all know that doesn't work. We've seen it before. I mean, the technology escapes their control, you know. Listen to the anthrax story that Katie did, you know, and it goes right into the hands of the illegal labs. I mean, look at how many fake medicinals we have. You can go to the pharmacy and even get a fake medicinal. I mean, so these labs and the drug traffickers and the warlords all around the world, they're going to have a heyday. And it's really kind of scary to think about it. Whether it's legal or illegal, GMO drugs, I mean, these drug dealers are going to be able to make opiates with little more than a bacterial culture, get some Pyrex beakers, and a few cups of sugar, and a little expertise in biology, and you've got it. I mean, wow. It'll be like meth labs.
That's interesting. Dave? It will be the next. I agree. That is the next meth lab. You know, I can't hear a story about this without reflecting on Pat Tillman. And for those who may not be aware, Pat Tillman was a standout football player at Arizona State University in the late 90s and was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL, where he performed very well. He was a very good player. And he was so moved on behalf of his patriotic spirit towards his country after 9/11, that he and his brother enlisted in the Army, and he was sent to Afghanistan. And he became quickly disillusioned, and his members of his family and other people close to him have said that he was totally disgusted by the fact that we weren't going after the drug lords, that we were protecting their opium shipments. And a lot of people think that's why Pat Tillman was murdered, and the Pentagon moved to cover it up. I can't think of anything else when I first hear this story, but the late, great Pat Tillman, the young man when he lived was such an inspiration to people around him, because he embodied the spirit of hard work, ethics, demanding excellence from himself. And I was just crushed when I heard the news he'd been killed. And then I became very angry when I heard what was connected with his death. But Annie, this is not surprising. I mean, we look at George Bush, and I'm talking about senior, Pappy, Air America, drug trafficking involved in this. We got Ambassador Stevens, and I ran this story in October of 2012. Gun running is only the tip of the iceberg. Drug running, child running, you know, the elite, this is what they're into. This is how they make their money. Drug running for a lot of these elites is how they make their money. They launder the money through banks like HSBC, Wells Fargo, Wachovia has been busted for it. They paid a $400 million fine, but no one went to jail. It just never ends, Annie. And it just, when you hear these stories about Afghanistan, and that's why we're there. That's exactly why we're there, is our military are the guardian angels for the elite's drug trafficking operations involving heroin. And what's the fastest growing drug on the streets of America today? You got it. It's heroin. Annie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, remember how back during the Vietnam War, they were shipping drugs and dead soldiers' bodies back to the United States. I mean, okay, enough of that. I'm sorry I even mentioned that. It's not a good
No, visual. I think it's a perfectly appropriate analogy. Just we're a little more high-tech about how we do it now. I forget the figures, but you see these every now and then. You know, before Afghanistan involvement, what heroin trafficking was, and what it was after our involvement, it's gone up exponentially. And it's by design. This is why we'll never leave Afghanistan. We're the guardians for the elite's opium traffic.
Well, they want us incapacitated. Everything from chemtrails to vaccines to GMO foods to, you know, you name it, fluoride in the water. They want us incapacitated.
Purple haze.
And now you can't even live off the grid. I mean, Florida. You know, they don't feed the homeless there along with a lot of other cities, but they're making living off the grid absolutely illegal. Robin Speronis, she's lived off the grid for about a year and a half in Cape Coral, Florida, and because she's disconnected from any corporate or municipality, she's usually using solar energy, a propane camp stove, and rainwater. I mean, there's a picture of her. She looks like a nice, educated, clean lady. She doesn't look like a derelict at all. But the city is using the international, listen to this, folks, the International Property Maintenance Code against her. The international UN. I mean, she wasn't found guilty for having a proper sewer or electrical system, but she was found guilty of not having an approved water supply. Excuse me? You can take big 5-gallon jugs and fill them up. I mean, if a municipality makes it illegal to disconnect from any utility, they're making it, in essence, illegal to be living off the grid. But corporations can allow you to live independently off the grid because then they lose profits. But most important, they lose control over you. And Carl Sagan said, once you have a charlatan power over you, once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back.
Well, let's talk about the International Property Maintenance Code. We had Deborah Tavares on. We've had her on several times. But one time in particular, I think about a year and a half ago, Deborah talked about the International Property Maintenance Code. And it's going to do a lot of things to us. Eventually, it's going to be the way that they evict you from your home. Because if you got wires not up to code, you could be out. It just opens Pandora's box for the elimination of private property for a lot of the middle class. But the IMPC is often called, this is as nefarious as it gets, and they're saying that you have to be on their grid that they control. So technically, if you wanted to just go live out in the wild on your own property and not even have a structure, That would technically be illegal. You know, Annie, let me ask you something along these lines, too. You mentioned early on in this news item that Florida has outlawed essentially being homeless. And you're right, they have. So is California, so have a lot of other states. I've been reading this number recently, but I have not been able to get validation on this. And to the listening audience, if you've got hardcore proof, I want to hear from you. Have you heard this, Annie? 200,000 people who are homeless in America have gone missing.
What are they doing with them?
That's my question. The speculation is that they're ending up in FEMA camp-type facilities to use to train the guards. And I've heard this a lot. I just have not been able to verify it. But 200,000 missing homeless. Wait till you see what I'm coming out with tomorrow from a gentleman named Marlon from Big Spring, Texas. I have an inside source, and I got Marlon on the outside with his camera. You should see what I'm coming out with. There's a lot of stuff going on with Walmart that I don't think has made the public eye, but it's going to tomorrow. But I want to go back to this international property code for a minute, Annie. This is really, really concerning to me because they effectively can control what you pay. They can enslave you through their monopoly by controlling so much that they can charge anything they want, and effectively you become their serf. And before you think I'm exaggerating, let me explain how Walmart does business in a lot of Chinese areas. If you're of Chinese extraction and you're living in China, and you go to work for Walmart, the pay is decent. But they actually force the workers in these factories in several locations to live in dormitories. And they're not very big, and they're overcrowded, one bathroom for about every 16 people. And, of course, these people are local, so they would presumably have homes to go to. So it's not that they got to stay there, but they got to pay for the cost of their residence. And the cost of their residence outpaces what they're paid as a wage. So effectively, and HBO did a special on this several years ago. It pretty quickly got scrubbed. I don't even think you can get it today. But they did, oh gosh, it might have been 10 years ago now that HBO did a special on this. This is what we could be looking at here with the International Property Maintenance Code. If they can tell you that you have to live on the grid, and the grid is going through all these consolidations and quickly becoming monopolized like the mainstream media, they can effectively charge what they want. They have no competition. You know, here in Arizona, we have two major suppliers in Phoenix and Tucson. You either have Arizona Public Service or Salt River Project. You don't get to choose between them. They don't compete with each other. So they effectively charge what they want to charge. Well, there's going to come a time when they can actually make us indentured servants by charging us so much to heat and cool our homes, get electricity, maintain our refrigerators, wash and dry our clothes, that we effectively become their indentured servants like Chinese Walmart workers. I think this is a huge, huge problem here, and they don't want people living off the grid. In fact, I've got a neighbor who lives down the street from us, does some car repair work for us, listens to the show. And what he tried to do, he's very handy. He's got solar, and he tried to totally remove himself from the Arizona Public Service grid. And they said, no, we'll send the sheriff out there. You believe that, Annie? They said, uh-uh, you can't do it. He said, effectively, he's done it. He said, effectively, he's done it, and his bill is so low, it's negligible. But still, it's just, and the utility is the biggest ripoff going. It's another story, another subject for another day. Okay, what's up next? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say I'm also upset because the government now has control over the creek in my backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Obama. Another thing you've done for the good people of America. Well, here is a good story this is from overseas. And it says, supermarkets should donate wasted food to the needy. I mean, I can hear all of you out there saying, well, about time. Why wasn't this done ages ago? But there is an online petition urging the British government to force the supermarkets to distribute all this unsold food to the needy. And more than 100,000 people have already signed it. And this comes after a French proposal where they're trying to force their government to give unwanted food to charity. And with so many cities in the U.S., you know, like we were talking about, they're now outlawing feeding the homeless. I mean, this is a time-worthy endeavor. And it's long overdue, especially in the United States. I mean, I think we throw away more food probably than we eat. But the key word here in the story is force. I mean, England and France are trying to force their governments. But can we force the government to do anything, Dave?
Not in this area, no. The Obama administration, you just mentioned prior to going into the story, Annie, that Obama and the government now control the creek running through your backyard. Well, it's not just that. If it rains and you have a puddle, they control it. And effectively, if you're a farmer, for example, or a rancher, you know, the EPA can come on your property now and suspend all activities because they'll say this is a wetland. They own the puddles on your property. And I am not exaggerating. You know, I've been so embroiled in Jade Helm. I mean, and under normal circumstances, I would have already written a scathing expose on this. But this is something we really need to be worried about. Now, as far as donating food to the needy, there was a time, a long time ago in my previous life, when I was working in mental health, and I was evaluating and providing mental health services to ex-cons living in halfway houses trying to get full probation without supervision. And they were in a facility in downtown Phoenix. And this was a residential facility, about 90 men, and in a separate facility across the street, about 10 or 12 women. And they served meals there. I used to eat there. It was good food. And, of course, they'd always have more food than they could consume. And it was in downtown Phoenix, so we had a number of homeless people in the area. And I'd asked my supervisor, George Staub, great guy. I just said, George, why don't we go out there, set up a table, and serve some of these homeless people and get some good out of this. It fits our mission. He says, I'd love to. He said, but we'll have the police breathing down our neck. So what I used to do is put in some of this food in baggies and go hand it out as I'd leave. But you're not going to see any municipality, any state, or even if they were, the federal government would come and knock down the law because Obama is determined to use food and water to control us. You can take that to the proverbial bank that's about ready to crash. Obama will control you through food and water. Now, where have we seen that before? Stalin and the Ukraine, where he starved an estimated 7 to 23 million people to death. Obama will use food, and people are saying, well, that's an outrageous claim. How can you possibly say that, Dave Hodges? And my comment would be this. Go to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com and put into the search bar Executive Order 13603. Again, that's 13603. And what it effectively does, this executive order created by Obama in 2011, it gives him the authority, without the approval of Congress, without the need to declare martial law, without any kind of an emergency, just based on his say-so, Obama can declare that he effectively controls the economy, manufacturing, retail, private residences, all transportation, and included in this is food and water, and he'll use it as a weapon like every other despot does. And when we go into martial law, mark my words, folks, it's going to be the Hunger Games revisited. No, I'm not saying that your kids are going to go to some gladiator games. I don't necessarily think that's true. But you're going to be rationed on food and water. And if you or people in your area don't behave, you're going to have food and water withheld from you. And you can take that one to the bank. There's a reason why we see these movies that have this kind of predictive programming, because it is in their agenda. You can, Annie, I'm just telling you, this is coming. In fact, one thing about Executive Order 13603, and again, I encourage everyone who does not know about this or not familiar with it, go to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, look it up. The most stunning thing about this executive order is it provides for two conscriptions. And please forgive me because I've mentioned this a number of times before on the show, but we have a lot of new listeners tonight as I'm getting emails to this effect. Executive Order 13603 will provide for a military draft, but also provide for civilian conscription. Civilian conscription under the Department of Labor, in which they call the conscripts consultants, and in Section 501 and 601, the executive order says that conscripts will be unpaid. Slave labor. Slave labor, Annie.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're looking at. And so it's interesting. People say, gee, you started here on this topic of the homeless in Florida and wanting to feed them in Britain, and you end up on these other topics. Yeah, they're all related. See, when you fight against the globalists, you're not fighting against issues. You're fighting against a lifestyle, a set of philosophical beliefs that is so foreign to anything that most of us have ever grown up believing in. This is why people go through cognitive dissonance, like the emailer we read earlier. They just can't believe all this stuff is true, but it represents Doug said it too, a satanic world view. This is it precisely. What we're looking at here is a satanic world view, and that's what we're up against. Well, let's talk about next week very quickly, Annie. We've got a terrific show lined up. Steve Quayle is going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking about unleashing the gates of hell. That is no longer a metaphorical phrase. No longer. You're going to find out why this is so serious. So we thank you for joining us on our maiden voyage at our new time from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. This is permanent, and we invite you to join us next week when Steve Quayle is our guest. And until then, go out and have a great week, enjoy life, and God bless.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination.